Services in the Tent of Meeting. Hi, this is Zdravko Stefanović from Walla Walla University School of Theology. I would like to welcome you to Good Word, our weekly radio program that focuses on biblical topics and discussions. Today, we continue a series of topics based on the book of Numbers. And to help me discuss especially chapters 7 and 8 from the book of Numbers, I have invited two guests, Dr. Kyle Craig, professor of chemistry at Walla Walla University, and also Dr. Paul Dibdahl, professor of religion here at the same school. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
We have a couple of passages in front of us, and the first one begins with the words, "The Lord said to Moses." This is a statement frequently found in the Torah or in the Pentateuch. So my question to you would be, since this expression is used over 80 times in the book of Numbers alone, where do you think God's voice was coming from?
Kyle will answer this one.
Yeah, well, I know that the pop culture, you know, description would be, it just was there. You know, you kind of see it in, you know, in the famous Ten Commandments movies or whatever that they...
Someone invisible.
Yeah.
Having the same voice like Paul.
Yeah, it's a very, you know, deep, good radio voice. Not like mine.
Speak to the children of Israel. Paul, maybe you should.
I don't know. I think that that's maybe where it was coming from, but maybe it was just like God was sort of in his thoughts, just talking to him, like as if he was just thinking what God wanted to be saying to him, sort of having a conversation.
Impressing the mind.
Yeah, maybe it was like that.
I would guess that it wasn't always exactly the same. I mean, sometimes I think there was a powerful, audible voice that you would literally hear with your ears, whether it's coming from the mountain or from the... But I think that sometimes it was a more, what we say, a still small voice, a voice of silence that somehow speaks to our conscience. I would expect it could be a whole range of possibilities.
Do you think that in the context of the tent of meeting, that the voice very often was coming from the most holy place?
That would seem reasonable to me. Is there a place where it says that specifically? I mean, that...
No, but I believe one can find it in literature, comments made on biblical passages here and there, that the Ark of the Covenant symbolizing the footstool of the God of the universe, you know, would have been a fitting place.
Yes, certainly fitting and visibly, you know, was. And so it would make sense then that audibly as well it might be.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. This passage, Numbers 8, 1 through 4, talks a little about different objects in the tent of meeting. And in the holy place, there was the golden menorah, or the candlestick. What did it symbolize? First of all, what was its function, and was there any symbolic function in addition to the literal, physical function?
Well, it's the most obvious function. It was to light the space in front of the lampstand there, and I suppose there would be symbolic kinds of meaning behind that as well.
So it provided the necessary light. Inside the tabernacle, and at the same time it may have symbolized God as the source of light, isn't it? And in fact, we can come down to the time of Christ, of Jesus, and did Jesus use light as metaphor, and how did he use it? Do some of his words come to your mind? Kyle, may I put you on the spot?
You're the light of the world. The one sitting on a hill cannot be hidden. That's the one I think of.
According to the Gospel of Matthew, a part of Christ's first public sermon, Sermon on the Mount.
Well, in the beginning of John describes... the Word who became flesh and describes him as light that gives light to all men. I think those connections with Christ are certainly there.
And there is one of the famous I am statements in the book of John. I am the light of the world, where Christ introduced himself in such a way. So one can indeed find some deeper meanings in the objects and
But isn't it also the case that the menorah may have been a kind of reminder, a symbol of the appearance of the Lord to Moses in the burning bush? I've heard that as a mm-hmm. as a possibility as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That here you have, it's in the shape of branches of a tree mm-hmm. that are alight. So mm-hmm. another possibility.
Let's talk a little about the people also who served in the sanctuary, because that is another topic found in the same chapter, Numbers 8. All of the male descendants of Levi, they served in the tent of meeting. But only the male descendants from the house of Aaron, they served as priests. And yet it was not like that from the very beginning. God first wanted all the Israelite firstborn to serve in the sanctuary. And then he decided that only the Levites should do that, and as priests, only the male descendants from the house of Aaron. Can God change his mind?
Well, you just, it sounded like you just said he did.
Yeah.
So it would be difficult for us to say no. No, he can't. If he did, then apparently he can. But does that answer the essence of the question? Huh?
Is it that God changed his mind, or that the Israelites or Moses understood him differently? Understood what he was getting at a later point, and so it seems like he changed his mind, where in actual fact, maybe he didn't. They just didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. The first command was shortly after the Exodus from Egypt, and God said, well, because I have spared all of the children or the sons of the Israelites, they are going to be special to me, and therefore they will serve me in the sanctuary. But then later on, one tribe was selected, you know, for that special work. Mm-hmm. I believe that it's useful to remember this, that originally God's purpose was such that indeed the words from the book of Exodus would be fulfilled, that Israel would be a nation of priests, that every home would be affected by the high priestly calling. Now, I didn't say that right. High, I mean high calling mm-hmm, mm-hmm. to be priests. Mm-hmm. Only one, of course, of them was the high priest. So are there implications for Christians today in regard to this original plan of God?
Well, this is maybe the kind of the negative side of it, but that original plan of God, that a firstborn of each family would serve as a priest, seems to have changed in connection with the golden calf incident, with the decision that Israel made collectively in turning their back. So maybe one lesson, not directly answering your question yet, is that our response to God's call, this sounds kind of ominous, but that we can lose perhaps certain privileges, mm-hmm. Opportunities, and that God's call and God's acceptance and God's will even can, our response is really important to that. And God can change his mind as we change. Mm-hmm. And it didn't come out quite as smoothly as I wanted it to, but maybe that's important. I think sometimes we feel like, well, God has, you know, God's worked this way in my past, God has called me, and so therefore it's kind of, mm-hmm. everything's settled. I don't really have. No, I need to continue to be faithful to him. That's important. But back to your question.
Well, I believe that this is a good point, that because of the event that is recorded in Exodus 32 and the decisive act of someone belonging to the tribe of Levi did impact on the change mm-hmm. that we are talking about here. What's fascinating to me is that even at the time when the Levites served in the sanctuary and the male descendants from Aaron were priests, basically every Israelite could look up to the sanctuary and see a Levite serving there, or a priest, and say, well, that person is serving instead of mm-hmm. the oldest sibling in our household. Mm-hmm. So there was a direct connection with what was going on in the sanctuary.
And the breastplate that the high priest would wear would also, you know, there'd be that he's serving as a representative of all Israel, so there'd be that connection as well.
And if you do not mind, I know that some people do not like when I do this, but I will connect this to the New Testament. I believe that it's useful because we believe in the unity of the Bible. What does Hebrews 4, especially verses 14 through 16, teach about our access to God's throne?
Well, because of Jesus, we all have full access to God's throne.
So our eldest brother in the family, yeah. Jesus Christ, he is serving before God. And through him, we all who belong to the human family here on earth have access to God's throne. He's our representative. Mm-hmm. And the text from Hebrews invites us to be bold, mm-hmm. to approach the throne of God whenever mm-hmm. we need help from God, whether comfort or strength or any other type of mm-hmm. aid that we can have in our time of need, as the text says here.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that this connection between God's original plan to make the whole nation of Israel as a nation of priests, and today the plan that God has for church, as we can read from some passages from the New Testament, to me it's fascinating. Because when we talk about universal priesthood of all believers today, that is an idea that is found mm-hmm. early in the Bible, in the case of the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I believe that by doing that, we go back to God's original plan.
And actually, I'm a little embarrassed to admit this, but I had never, until going through this lesson, I had never thought through that the priesthood of all believers is certainly not a New Testament teaching. It was God's original plan from the beginning. So
and
that's
it
valuable
not,
to me. That's
it,
valuable.
It does not contradict the period of time when Aaron's and Levi's actually tribe and Aaron's house dominated, yeah. you know, the positions of authority
uh-huh.
in the sanctuary.
Uh-huh.
Well, let me say in the end that worship of God should be reflected in all that we do. I would like to thank both of my guests, Paul Dibdahl and Kyle Craig, for their contribution to today's discussion, and also Susan Michael, our radio technician. I would like to invite you to join us next week as we continue to explore the messages from the biblical book of Numbers. Thank you all for tuning in. For Good Word, I'm Slavko Stefanovic.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.